Hello everybody and welcome to the Theatre Pitch podcast. I am Jem. This is a really, really not into it, Sean.
I'm into it. I'm into theatre. I love it. Okay. Don't insult me.
You're just having a crisis of faith, I think, after last week's episode. But it's a new episode, so we'll do better. Aren't we, Joe?
Yep, I'm Joe. I'm as into it as I always am. I think me and theatre are best as just friends.
And I think my way of coping with last episode is 100% just go blind optimism. Yay, trust in our own abilities. Woo, fairy princess, put glitter on it. Ha! Right, well, welcome to the Theatre Pitch podcast. It's the part I completely don't know where I'm going with this, but this is the podcast where we take a random online encyclopedia article and we each come up with a pitch of how we would turn it into a theatre show. And then at the end, we smush all of those ideas together. So, Joe, what is today's article that seems to be really enthusing all three of us?
Well, today's article, it's a real doozy. It's Tor Total. Tor Total, previously known as Tor Elf from 1985 to 1999, then Tor Total Final Elf from 1999 to 2003, is an office skyscraper located in La Défense, Courbevoie, the high-rise business district west of and adjacent to the city of Paris, France. Designed in the modern architectural style, the building now serves as the headquarters for Total Energies, one of the six super major oil companies in the world.
Brilliant. Brilliant. And I'm glad that finally we have another description where you can put your voices on.
Oil company? I completely didn't realise they were an oil company. That went straight over my head. That did.
Oh,
you've suddenly got an idea now.
Just like, why didn't... I bet Jem's going to be all about eco stuff. Like,
honestly, I was like, oh, here's an idea. And then I was like, these are all eco things. And I've pitched so many eco theatre shows recently that I'm turning myself anti-eco. So it's not going to be an eco thing. It's going to be eco adjacent, I guess. How did we find this article?
Eco adjacent. I like that.
So, I honestly am going to claim mania and therefore that I cannot be responsible for whatever garbage I drivel in a few seconds.
Okay, I'm a little
I would
bit...
like to see mine, but I don't know. That doesn't mean whether it's good or not.
Oh, yeah.
Agreed.
I think I would go and see my show. I also don't think my show should exist.
I am in the same page. If I really, really want to go to my show and go see my show... but I don't think it will ever exist, and I don't think anyone other than, like, a handful of people will ever enjoy it. Or it could be, like, amazing and everybody fucking adores it. But, who's gonna go first?
Alright, I'll go first.
Okay, last one.
I just want to get this out of the way so that it's very clear. I would watch this, but also I fear God's wrath should it exist.
I'm genuinely scared because there is a line in the article that basically says that, like, this tower was meant to be like a twin to another tower, and I'm genuinely nervous as to what might come out.
Oh no, it's not going down that angle. Don't worry.
Okay, so it's not that Ring of Hell. All right, yeah. Tell us what Ring of Hell you're going to go into.
So, if you look in the article, it says that Tor Total is the third tallest skyscraper in La Défense and the fourth tallest in the Paris area. I also did a little bit more research into this, and overall, it is the fifth tallest structure in France. Mm-hmm. Can you guess what number one is?
The Disneyland Castle.
You were close. It's another pointy building around
Paris.
It's the
Eiffel Tower, isn't it?
Yeah, it's that one, actually. Yeah, Joe.
Tour de Eiffel.
Yeah.
Me trying to be like Joe.
Yeah. So I think this is kind of interesting.
Hang on, so it's not Space Mountain?
It's not Space Mountain. It's not the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror.
What?
It's not that Aerosmith ride. Run out of Disneyland Paris.
A tall structure in Paris. That could be anything.
They're all so tall.
Is it the Moulin Rouge? But so I think it's kind of interesting to return to one of the ideas I think I've mentioned kind of previously, which is exploring the beauties of mediocrity. Of I kind of love that this building's calling card is that it is not in the top two tallest buildings. It is not the tallest skyscraper. It is not the tallest skyscraper in the Paris area. It is not even the tallest skyscraper in the city it's in. And I want to explore this, of course, through the medium of musical theatre and like Starlight Express, but if they were skyscrapers.
Starlight Express and skyscrapers.
Oh my gosh, please, how are we putting them on skates?
Dangerously.
It's
people in massive skyscraping costumes that may have been, half of the fun is, will they fall over and will everyone be hurt?
Well, that was the problem it's with the Broadway production of Starlight Express, is that they all kept falling over.
Yep. Essentially, this is an insurance company's worst nightmare.
No, the health and safety
forms for this are just prey.
Can I just point out, who saw that this episode was where Starlight was going to reappear? It's a skyscraper. You know what's a skyscraper to me? Roller skates. I'm down for this.
It's not just Starlight Express that we're all like, nah, all three of us are fully on board with putting people in, like, scaffolding. It's costumes made out of scaffolding.
I've got to be honest, blankets. I've spent a lot of the past week just thinking about Jackass Forever. And so I just want to see people get hurt.
It's a good film.
For my entertainment.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Does it need any questions? It's buildings, but Starlight Express.
Yeah, local regional theatre spotlight. It's going to tour everywhere. So
anywhere that might be willing to take it.
Does your theatre have a high ceiling? It better. These are tall skyscraper costumes.
Still touring. Still touring in the continent.
Exactly.
If only because they keep skating to their next destination.
Well, it saves on travel costs.
I'm down. Yes.
Okay, cool. No questions?
No, pitch one done. Who's pitching number two?
I'll go next because right. Mine's just as stupid.
All right. Welcome
to chaos. It really is. So, you know skyscrapers, you know they're tall. And you know this one.
Yeah.
And you know this one's made of glass. Right.
I'm so scared.
So you know
now.
When you get skyscrapers, you know to like to clean the glass to have them like platforms that
you know
go down and it's like enough for two people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So my play is set on one of them on this building. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's there. And the way you watch it is we've set GoPros all around it. So it's live performance, but you know, you can go there and watch, or you can watch the live stream, and it's that. So I was like, I'm sure that's a space that no one's ever thought of like doing a play on. So I thought, I'm going to do that there. Right. And then I thought, okay, so it's in France and it's, you know, there's not much space to do. I need like a play that was written in French. My idea is I am going to do a production of Waiting for Godot on one of them window cleaning platforms. And then, and it's all going to be set on there. And then, you know, in Waiting for Godot, when you have other characters appear, like the boy, they're going to appear on a platform that's just like coming next to them.
Next
and then they have
it.
There that bit. And then it goes back up.
Love
there
it.
There we go.
You know, I like the idea of essentially, taking this idea, but also because of the fact that, one, obviously, Waiting for Godot did first premiere in I can't remember what the theatre was, but at a theatre in Paris. Mm-hmm. But also, knowing how much of a stickler he was to sticking exactly to the stage directions and the mere like slightest of changes to even delivery he would flip out at. I just know how much he would absolutely fucking hate the idea of putting Waiting for Godot in a skyscraper. And because of that reason, I love it.
Wouldn't it be good, though?
I really want to see this.
I say this as a massive Beckett fan. I would love how much this would piss him off.
I just like the idea that it's like they're saying their lines, and then you just see another platform, just like boom.
I love the idea that pigeons can get involved. I love the idea that pigeons can also get involved.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I can also imagine in my head just adding in a bit of like kind of, like during Lucky's monologue, as it's just going on and on, just Vladimir and Estradrong just both like almost quite violently bashing at the buttons to try and get their lift to move.
Yeah, I didn't think of stuff like that. Like in my head, they always stay where they are, but they could like, no.
I like it. I don't think there are questions.
No.
So we have two insurance risks on pitches.
Massive.
We are burning through them quickly, but this is fine. I don't know if there is an insurance risk with mine. I think there kind of maybe is. All right, so my pitch is, I really want to see this. My pitch is, have any of you seen the TV show? It's a really crap TV show that's really good, called Scorpion.
I have watched one episode of Scorpion.
Okay. Scorpion.
But I couldn't tell you what it was about beyond I have watched it, and mm-hmm. I think it involved financial fraud in some way.
So, Scorpion is a TV show where basically it's a group of geniuses that save the world in the last 30 seconds before everything goes kablooey. It is that dramatic and that kind of crap in that. But when I was reading this article and I was just like, oh, it's a skyscraper. Oh, there are eco ideas that I'm having that I don't really want to go down the line of. I then started thinking about an episode of Scorpion where they helped to code and create an entirely eco-friendly but entirely AI-driven skyscraper and building. And then somebody hacked the building and everything went crap, right? And it all totally... they set the building on fire. So my idea is, it's set in a skyscraper. I want to find an abandoned skyscraper. Don't think they exist, but we're going to find a skyscraper, right? And the idea is that the audience and our sort of 12 angry men, as it were, our five heads of the company, because we were talking about super oil companies in this article. I want to find the five heads of this company that work in the skyscraper. And due to ecological reasons or due to whatever reasons we want to pick, whether it's that the building is AI or not and just rip off Scorpion, or just that everything, like the power's cut, right? Because they've created an ecological issue. The idea is you're locked in the skyscraper and you have to try and figure your way out. And it's kind of this discussion and conflict that you have between these five characters as you're trying to essentially do an escape room with these characters and you're trying to escape the escape room, but your escape room keeps kind of getting sabotaged by these five characters. And that's very much where I was kind of coming from, is this idea that you've got a skyscraper and it, like, oil companies keep sabotaging everybody else's plans. So that's where I kind of went. The article can bear very little resemblance to it, but that's very much what my plan was it's an escape room, but it's a theatre escape room. So there you go, in a skyscraper.
So Where am I when I'm watching this? Am I?
You are in the skyscraper, right? You're at, like, my thought was that we'd start on the top floor. We'd start in the executive suite on the top floor. And you're there, and then suddenly the power's cut. And then somebody comes in and they explain, oh, you know, everything, you know, everything's kind of shut down. The elevators won't work. The doors won't open. How do we get out? And you've got to get from the top floor all the way down. It's almost kind of like an endurance activity as well. And a survival thing. I've been watching a lot of Bear Grylls as the island. So maybe that's come into it a little bit in the survival instincts.
So basically, you just kick open the door of the executive suite, then you use the stairs.
But what if the stairs are blocked? That's my thought. Is like, you know, we Waltz actually. It. But we use like various different things because there's also there's lots of stories about how health and safety is kind of dodged in a lot of buildings. Usually, it's historic, but they're only historic because they burnt down. But basically, it's an escape room where I promise I'm not going to set the building on fire.
Okay, so it's an escape room. You,
yeah.
You, give me actor to audience member ratio.
So I was thinking, instinctively I'm kind of like, well, what if there is sort of 20 to 30 audience members? And then you've got about 7 or 8 cast members, because you can also sit and have the office, you know, the office secretary and the various different people that you would have within an office of a skyscraper. And we set it in essentially this big motor, this big oil company.
The audience members, actively in the scene, or are they passive? So I'm sort of thinking, is it like an immersive thing, or is it more like a punch drunk thing where they share the same space but the audience members are a fly on the wall?
I think it's far more immersive. I think it is, it's this idea that you go up and you're having this you have your 5 minutes intro basically with the executive, and we can set it up in any way that we want and set any false expectation essentially of what this play might be. And then lights cut and somebody comes in and says there's been a power cut or there's been a whatever we decide. I couldn't get my head away from this ecological thing, but we can choose that. But we've provided a reason why we basically have to get out of the building as fast as possible. But you know, we have to figure our own way out. And maybe everybody kind of splits off into smaller groups to try and find a way out. Maybe we hand out radios so that people can talk that way, because it is a skyscraper. It's got multiple floors to try and figure it out. But the way that it differs from an escape room and is a theatre show is that you've got these actors who are pushing scenes along, and there are conflicts and disputes and you know, they are getting in the way. If you've ever done an escape room where you've done it with more than one or two people, you understand, like, you will inherently understand that idea that some people are just in the way, and some people are just, like, totally drama queen affected by it when you do an escape room. And these actors can sit there and really be part of that, and really also kind of tell a story, if we want to put that story in there as well. But yeah.
I think it would work better if the audience member were flies on the wall, but it's your show.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. I think yeah, I do, Gemma. I like your thing. I think you're adding too many
working bits parts
to it.
That's fair.
I think the audience being an active member of the plot of the
escape
activity sort of the show I just feel like you'd get loads more a more interesting show is if like you've got your five or your six people and they're like, they're having like their conflict and their teamwork, like, and it's just them, just concentrating on them instead of them like, oh, let's try door number two. Come on, guys, come with me. Where it could be like, well, I'm gonna try this door. I don't give a crap what you're doing. I'm gonna go in this way.
Yeah,
I go that way, and then you some more.
Yeah, you're totally right, because I'm just thinking to the amount of the Bear Grylls, the island I've been watching, and how, like, the interesting part is when somebody decides, you know what, we've all decided we're going to catch this pig in this way, but, oh, I was going to take my shot. I took my shot, and it meant the pig ran away.
I think you're going to dilute it if you have, if you're trying to manage 30 people as well.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's just hellish as well. Especially if you get one person who's too hyper and overexcited and is like, I've done a billion escape rooms.
Over multiple floors, where you're just trying to control where they're going.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point. And I think actually that, yes, I will take that. I will take that. Thank you.
Done, guys. Right. Easy. See you next week.
Joe, any thoughts? Any thoughts on an endurance escape room theatre show?
Beyond, I have already, not to skip ahead, but I have worked out what we can do for the smush.
That's where we
if
are.
If you want to jump straight into
it. We're gonna cut to the smush.
All right.
We're cooking with fire right now.
What have we got? We've got Skyscraper Musical, all about just mediocrity. We've got Waiting for Godot in a lift on a skyscraper. And we've got Skyscraper Escape Room.
Yes.
So, I'm going to say
something that is... It's an escape room you never get out of, done.
My thinking is, if there's one thing I know from having gone drinking with the musical theatre kids, it's that get a few drinks in them and they're utterly obnoxious and you want to try and leave no matter what happens.
Okay.
My thinking is... And I say this as someone who also, when I get drunk, gets utterly obnoxious to the point where you want to leave my bit. You know, I'm not saying I'm not one of them. I'm just saying I recognize what I am.
I mean, you were drinking with them, so.
Yeah. But my idea is, it is a musical adaptation of Waiting for Godot on roller skates. And we put on the most intentionally obnoxious show we can, but we also say to people, if at any point you want to leave, feel free. That's when it becomes an escape room. If anyone wants to leave the show, they have to try and get out.
We are on the 54th floor
while solving an escape room in the middle of a shit musical.
I think that the audience members should wear the roller skates, so it's even harder for them to escape.
Yeah, everyone is on roller skates, performers and audience members. And while you're trying to solve this, the performance happens around you. If anyone tries to get out, the space in front of the doors becomes the stage.
I can't think of it much worse than immersive musicals.
Exactly.
On skates. Immersive. I mean, I like the way you've taken like three ideas that all of us want to do and then smushed it into an idea that it's kind of like taking all of your favorite foods or favorite ingredients and trying to make one thing with them.
Yeah, it's like I said, what are your favorite foods? And I said soup, Sean said burgers, and you said an ice cream sundae. And I was like, cool, here's a bowl of ramen with two frankfurters and a scoop of vanilla ice cream.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the smush, anybody. So had skates. We've had buildings on skates. We've had Waiting for Godot on a window cleaning lift. We've had an immersive escape room. And we've had an immersive musical Waiting for Godot adaptation with an escape room if you want to leave.
And if you want more of that, why don't you head down to the link below or like, share and subscribe. And don't forget, you can find out all of our other stuff at Linktree, OFITD. Yes, Linktree, OFITD. You can find our Instagram, you can find our Twitter, you can find our website, you can find out everything and all more of this. You can even find last week's episode. Don't watch it, though. Okay, and if you want to follow me on Instagram, you can do that at StillSigourneyB. And if you want to follow Gemma on Instagram and Twitter and things, you can do that at...
OFITD underscore Gem with a J.
Great. Great, with a J. Don't forget, it's a J. It's a J, mm-hmm. Not a G, it's a J. And if you want to follow Joe, where can you do that?
You can do so at Not Joe Ronchka. That's NotJoeRacZka. And there you'll find my link tree for all the other things I'm up to. But, Sean?
Yeah? Jim,
while you were just talking then, I loaded up the randomizer on the online free encyclopedia that we use.
I love that you called it the randomizer. And it's not just like, it's literally just a button on...
yeah, the button that says random article.
Underneath the home button on Wikipedia. And you're like, it's the randomizer.
Yep, woo! It's the randomizer. I used the randomizer. Would you like to know what it gave us this time? List of twin towns and sister cities in Portugal.
What?
This is in a list Portugal. Of Portugal of municipalities which have standing links to local communities in other countries, known as town twinning, brackets usually in Europe, or sister cities, brackets usually in the rest of the world.
We haven't had a list article in ages.
We haven't. I mean, and we all agree, like... list of terms referring to an average person was one of our first masterpieces of an episode. So,
and then list of ABBA and whatever was our first disaster.
I think that the town I grew up in is linked to a town in Portugal. Or it's linked to some town that I never understood.
By the way... I did have two other things I wanted to establish before this episode's over.
Are we still in the podcast?
Yeah.
Apparently.
Okay.
Yeah. We haven't said goodbye yet, Sean.
First thing, love how last season we were like, GoPro on a dog, not theatre. This season, GoPro on a window cleaning stand, theatre. And also, if you're wondering, yes... whatever happens, this musical ends with a rendition of Demi Lovato's Skyscraper.
Oh my gosh. No.
Well, I think we can all agree on that note. Knock it out the pitch, everybody.